Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Last weekend, I launched a series entitled Life Interrupted. Life Interrupted. And we're looking into the story, the Christmas story. And we're just looking into, you know, Jesus Christ coming on earth. Through Mary and Joseph, and we're looking at, you know, all the events that were just surrounding the Christmas story. And the reason why we are calling it Life Interrupted is because the coming of Jesus Christ was an interruption. People were just going, going about doing their things, and their normal lives and all kinds of things. But Christ comes. And, he shakes, the routine. And when he comes, he interrupts people's lives. And when he interrupts, what he is doing actually is he's wanting to rearrange our priorities so that we can consider his priorities first. That he wants to bring his activity in our own activity. That when we see his activity and experience his activity, we're going to make his activity a greater priority. So when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he will bring some sort of, interruption and some sort of disturbance in your routine, in the things that you love, because he's beckoning you. He's calling you to pay attention to him, when he comes, what he does is he brings the interruption so that your life can be transformed. Your life can be changed. You cannot remain the same. And today, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 56, looking how Jesus Christ interrupted the worship of Mary, because Mary was worshiping Jesus, was worshiping God, but he comes in her life, and it changes the way she worships Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 56, we're going to read this passage together, so I would like to ask you guys to stand up. If you can, as we are reading the word of God together. 39. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful for the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good deeds, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, as just his promise our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. God, I thank you and I worship you, for when we worship you, our hearts are changed. And I pray, Lord, for your presence. I pray for your spirit, that he will be so present here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week we read the story of Mary being visited by an angel, and the angel tells Mary, "But do not fear, there's something amazing that's going to come. You're going to become pregnant of the Holy Spirit, and you bear a child, and you call his name Jesus Christ." And Mary says, "How will this be?" And, the angel gives her, these reasons. And she says, first of all, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. So it is God's power that will do it. But also, you know what? You need to see that God has done some amazing things for other people that are around you. So the angel said, actually, your relative Elizabeth, she has actually, you know, she's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. You know, Mary, upon hearing and, you know, finishing this conversation with the angel, she goes to see Elizabeth. So she sees Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says the Holy Spirit was upon her. The Holy Spirit was upon her that she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This time we know that Mary has just finished a conversation with an angel. So probably she's yet to share her story with Elizabeth. Probably Elizabeth does not really know that Mary will be pregnant. We don't even know if she was actually pregnant yet by this time. So it's only through the Holy Spirit that Elizabeth was able to say, you know what, there is something in you. There is something amazing that's happening in you, and you're gonna have, and the child you will bear, you know, will be amazing, and you will be my Lord. She calls Mary and says, you're the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord. So it's only through the Spirit of God that Elizabeth would have known what is happening with Mary or what's going to happen with Mary. And we see Mary's response through the song that she wrote. You know, this situation could have gone either way. It could have gone the way that it went, where Mary, you know, worshiped God. Or it could have gone a way of maybe the praise that Elizabeth put on Mary could have gotten into her head, and she could have become proud. Yeah, yeah, you know the Spirit of God? This is amazing. Yeah, I know I'm awesome. I know. Can you believe it? I chose the hard thing. Can you believe it? You know, she could have allowed the praise and the worship to go into her head. But actually, no. She chooses to do something else different. She joins Elizabeth in praising God. She joins Elizabeth in praising God because she recognizes the amazing work of God. She recognizes the beauty of God. And Mary, you know, she sees Jesus Christ as the Savior worth rejoicing about. She sees Jesus Christ, she sees God as the master concerned about his servants worth mentioning. She sees God as the mighty masterminder with impeccable abilities worth praising. She sees God as so gracious Lord who resists the proud worth exhorting. She sees God as a promise keeper worth remembering. She sees God as a promise keeper worth remembering. So she gives honor to God. She joins Elizabeth and says, you know what? We're going to give honor and glory to God. I don't want what you have said, the amazing things you have said about me, to enter into my head. Actually, what I will do is I'm going to thank God. So this morning, I need a bit of help from the kids to help me with this message. And I wanted to invite the kids that are willing to come and share one thing they're thanking God for. One thing they're thanking God for. So kids, if some of you guys can come up and just share, those who are brave and are willing, yeah, yeah, come on up. Yeah, I see some of you standing up. Come on up. Yeah, just come and say, you know, I thank God for, and then you say what that is. Yeah, amazing, amazing. Yeah, so you guys, you know, just think of one thing that you want to thank God for. So I say, I thank God, or I thank Jesus for, and then you mention what that is, yeah? Who wants to go first?
All right. I thank Jesus for my school.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
I thank Jesus for flood.
Oh, beautiful.
I thank Jesus for putting life in my soul.
Oh, beautiful.
I thank Jesus for my home.
I thank God for parents.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, come on up. Come on up.
I thank Jesus for my family.
Yeah.
I thank God for my brother.
Yes.
Ah, ah, ah. I thank Jesus for my Christ.
Those who haven't come here.
I thank God for my electronics and my dog.
I thank Jesus for my sister. I thank God for dying on the cross.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, come on up. Jenna, just give
a... I thank Jesus for my home.
Oh, beautiful. Jenna, come.
I thank Jesus for the Bible.
Beautiful. Does everybody say? Oh, again.
I thank God that I can live to glorify His name.
Everybody said? Everybody say? Oh, one more. Yeah, Nivea.
I thank God for my family.
All right, yeah, let's hear it for these guys. You guys can go back and have a seat. Thank you. Well done. Well done, guys. Good job. One way of worshiping God is being aware of what He's doing around you, being aware of what He's doing in your life. I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about, so that we're on the same page, when I say this word worship, what do we actually mean? In Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for their way of doing religion. So Jesus says, and He quotes Isaiah, who said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." What Jesus Christ is addressing here is the temptation that we have, the temptation of just seeing worship as just doing, worship as just the things that we are doing. So maybe we're coming to church and we're listening to somebody else speak. We are singing songs, which was amazing today, by the way, your band. This is great. Thank you. Doing kids' church and, doing sacraments and all kinds of things. But Jesus Christ says, you know what? I'm not against the doings. Actually, I am for the heart. And what I'm looking for is actually the heart. You can do whatever you want, but if your heart is not worshiping God and it's not coming from the heart, then everything else that you're doing is vain. It's vain. So Jesus Christ is not dismissing the expressions of worship, which is going to church, going to a community of believers, singing songs and doing all kinds of beautiful things that we do to express our worship to God. He is not against those things. But He says, when your heart is worshiping God, it will result in the expression of the worship of God. When your heart is worshiping God, it will result in the expression of worship that you express in your doing. So if I adore Jesus Christ in my heart, then I will sing of Him. The singing is a result of me adoring Him in my heart. If I adore Jesus Christ, then I will sing about Him. Or maybe I will raise my hand. Or maybe I will lay down to worship Him. Because in my heart, I adore Him. I will obey Him because in my heart I adore Him. It all starts with the heart. So, catch this. If you heart it, you will do it. If you heart it, you will do it. If your heart catches the worship of Jesus, then the evidence will be in your expressions of the worship of Jesus Christ. If you heart it, you will do it. That's what Jesus is about. It's about the heart. You know, is your heart in the worship of me? Because you can do the expressions. You can come to church. You can sing. You can raise hands. You can pray. You can do all these expressions of worship. But if your heart is far from me, then your worship, your expressions are in vain. I want you to heart it. Because when you heart it, you will not force the doing. The doing will just come. If you heart it, you will do it. Therefore, worship flows out of a heart which seeks to understand the nature of God, His character, and His works. seeks to understand. And the reason why I'm saying seeks to understand is because we cannot fully understand God. And it is in the seeking that we are actually in awe of Him. It is in the seeking of wanting to understand His character, wanting to understand His nature, wanting to understand His works, that we are actually in awe of Him. And when we are seeking to understand these things, we will respond by valuing Him above all things. We're going to respond by treasuring Him above all things. We're going to respond by being satisfied with Him only above all things. We're going to respond by honoring Him above all things. And we're going to respond by enjoying Him above all things. We're going to respond by saving Him above all things. Because we worship Him. Because we bless His name. So we worship out of the heart. Heart it, then you will do it. In the passage that we have read today, in this song of Mary, popularly known as the Magnificat or the Magnificat, we see Mary writing a song to God. This is an expression she's giving to God. And in her song, we see that she is recognizing God's nature, His character, and His works. On Friday, I went to one of the classrooms at African Bible College, and a friend had called me to pick up something in their classroom. So I went in there, and when I entered, I was amazed by the expression of the kids towards me. They were just like, whoa. I remember one kid not knowing what to do with himself. Amazed because I entered in their room. Amazed. You know, but you know what? I was thinking about this, you know, looking at these kids and showing their enthusiasm, you know, being amazed by me, and some maybe are wondering because I think the teacher said, oh, this is Pastor Humphreys. Oh, okay. All right, with the hair and all and stuff like that. You know, what kind of pastor is he? Or whatever. But the way they express their awe and wonder, you know, it made me think, you know, when God walks in the room of my heart, when God walks in the room of my mind, do I wonder of His beauty? Am I amazed? Am I mesmerized by His presence? Do I recognize the wonder of His beauty? Am I awestruck that actually I don't know what to do with myself? You know, I don't know what to do with myself, and therefore maybe I will throw myself down. Or maybe I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll faint. I don't know what to do with myself. But when God moves in, am I awestruck? You know, am I mesmerized by His presence? Or am I so used to the things of God that I don't even notice the wonder of God? Am I so used to this life that I don't even pay attention to the amazing things that God is doing? I don't. Have I lost the wonder of His grace? Have I lost the wonder of His creation? The wonder of a sunrise. Just this morning, I just watched the sunrise. It was so beautiful out there. And I'm like, you know what? I take this for granted. The wonder of a sunset. We are so privileged to be here in Malawi. Beautiful sunsets in this country. Amazing. You know, but sometimes you can just walk by, you know, and then somebody sends you a picture and you're like, whoa, what an amazing picture. It's like, hey, I just took it just now with the sunset. For this, is it like, what? Just right in front of you. You know, are we so used that we miss the beauty of God around us? Should we be more aware of what God is doing around us, that we are in awe of His works, we're in awe of His nature, we're in awe of His character? So how do we cultivate the authentic worship? Verse 46, Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. To paraphrase that, Mary says, wow, I can't believe that God would think of me. I cannot believe that God would entrust me with this gift of this precious baby, for I am just a servant. I cannot believe it. So how, the way she covered, you know, this authentic worship, I wanted to just share with you two truths this morning. Truth number one, people who wow more feel entitled less. But people who wow less feel more entitled. People who wow more feel less entitled. But people who wow less, they feel more entitled. In other words, ungrateful people are entitled people. You can have something happen right under your nose, something beautiful, something amazing that God is doing, but you can actually miss it. You can miss it. But you know what Mary says? My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. For she says, who am I that he would actually think of me? I'm just a servant. Who am I that he would think of me? That he would think of me? I'm just a servant. God is doing some beautiful things, and most of them just look ordinary, but they are not. They're amazing. The rain is not ordinary. It's beautiful. God is doing some amazing things. If you wow more, you will notice it. If you wow more, if you are like, wow, you will notice. Now, I'm saying that for you to cultivate the heart of gratitude, then you need, when you are, you know, having this heart of gratitude, you will feel entitled less, just because you don't need to cultivate feeling entitled. This comes naturally to us. Yeah? You don't need like, oh, you know, I'm praying for me to feel more entitled. No. That comes naturally to you. You know, we all feel like we deserve more than other people. You know, we all feel like we have to be treated better than the next person. You know, I'm the one that deserves to stay close to the fan than my neighbor. Yeah. And then you just look at the others like, oh, look at him sweating. You don't need to cultivate feeling entitled, but you have to cultivate a heart of gratitude. You have to cultivate a heart of gratitude. You know, feeling entitled comes naturally. You know, have you been to the bank and you're in that long line and you're waiting to be served? And then there's some person, you know, who just walks over you with a big backpack because he has lots of money than you. And then they go to the front and they take over. Because they are like, you know what, I don't have time for this. I deserve to be treated better. If you haven't noticed, you are the one that's doing it, probably. You know, the same, you go to the immigration. You don't want to wait in line. You know, you go to the road traffic, you don't want to wait in line. You know, you're going to cut that line because you want to be treated better than anyone else. You feel, I deserve this better than anybody else, so I will get it. And the feeling is that as long as it serves my interest, lack of gratitude leads to the feeling of entitlement. And this does not only happen in the immigration, does not only happen in the banks, it also happens in church. You know, people can feel entitled in church. You know, people can... you know, if things happen to other people, they will not care. They will not go and, you know, pray with them or visit them or talk to them or ask them how they're doing. But any little thing happens in their life, the church has to stop and attend to their needs, for they deserve it better than anyone else. And more especially if the pastor doesn't come Oh, my goodness. If the pastor doesn't come, that church, there's no church, actually. They are not worth to be called a church. The feelings of entitlement, and have to say, it breaks my heart when people sacrifice community and participation to serve their own preferences. It breaks my heart when people want to sacrifice community and participation in order to serve their own preferences. I would rather sacrifice my own preferences than sacrifice the joy of being a part of a community and participation to serve my own preferences. You don't have to like the songs for you to be a part of a community, for you to enjoy the community. You know, you don't have to like the way the pastor speaks, or the way that person does that, or the way that person greets me, and stuff like that. You know, if it just saves you, oh yeah, you're gonna really just feel entitled. But we are a church, and we are the body of Christ. Every single one of us is important. Let's do this charismatic style. Point to your neighbor and say, you are important. Your contribution matters. Yeah. May those who have ears hear what the Spirit of God says to his church. Amen. So instead of like complaining and always, crying about the things that are going wrong in your life, or the things that are not working in your life, choose to be wowed by God's grace and mercy that he has put towards you. Because either you will choose to dwell on the disadvantages that come with being a servant, or you will dwell on the privileges God has given you, even though you are a servant. Either you will choose to dwell on the disadvantages that come with being a servant, or you will dwell in the privileges God has given you, even though you are a servant. Because that's what Mary shows us in this. She was but a servant. But you know, there's a lot of things that Mary could have cried about. The society she was living in was oppressive, not treating women right. There was a lot of things. You know, she became pregnant out of, you know, what would be considered wedlock. And she could have cried for all kinds of things. But she looks at the privileges that she has, that God has given her, even though she is a servant. Even though she is a servant. So today, may you choose to be wowed by what God is doing around you, by what God is doing in your life. Choose to be wowed by the privilege of having a family and the relationships that God has given you. Choose to be wowed by the privilege of having an education. Choose to be wowed by a privilege of having a job. Choose to be wowed by a privilege of being a part of a community. Choose to be wowed by the privilege of having life and all the other good things God has provided for you. Choose to be wowed. For the people that wow more feel less entitled. But people that wow less, they feel more entitled. We can only be grateful to God when we recognize what the Lord is doing around us. Amazing things that he's doing around us. Truth number two that we see in Mary is that authentic worship is expressed in our desire to partner with God in his quest for justice for the oppressed. Authentic worship is expressed in our desire to partner with God in his quest for justice for the oppressed. In other words, our worship becomes authentic when our worship becomes more than what we say, but what we do. When our worship becomes more than what we say or what we do, that is authentic worship. Luke 1, 53 and 54 says, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Mary sees God as one who sides with the oppressed. He feeds the hungry, and he helps his servants to be merciful, to show mercy. James 1:27 says, a pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. We cannot truly say we worship God if we refuse to join God in the things that God is about. We cannot say we worship God if we refuse to join God and partner with Him in the things that He cares about. In the things that He cares about. He is about justice and, you know, bringing help for those that need it. Bringing help for those that need it. And when you do that, you're actually siding with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who looked upon us that we had no hope. Christ saw us that we were lost. Christ saw us that we were corrupted. And He came to rescue us. And He was oppressed so we could be free. He tested what it meant to be without a father. For there was a moment where He said, Father, Father, where are You actually? Why have You forsaken Me? He felt it so that we could have a father all the time. He cried to God so that we could be rescued, we could have hope, and we could be saved.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.